So we will open this work session on the Bowman Wind Project, and it is case number PU-21-121. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Haugenhoffert?
No, I do not.
Okay. It is your portfolio, Commissioner Fedorchek. So I'll turn it over to you for opening comments if you have any, and then just go into the case.
All right, very good. Thank you, Commissioner Christman and Sherry, too. All right, well, this has been a long time coming, this case, but I think that we are in a place now where we have a lot of items on the record, a lot of outstanding issues, I think, have been tied up as much as they're going to be. And so hopefully we have materials before us that will help, you know, complete our consideration of the case. Two things, really. There's some materials to go through, and then there's also the motion that the company has put forth to add this additional information to the record. So, Brian, which should we deal with that towards the end, or when would you like to talk about that?
I guess it doesn't matter. That might be just an easy conversation to have up front.
Sure.
So the latest, there was a filing shortly before this that has been accepted into the record that involved email exchanges and results of the meeting with Game and Fish. I did reach out to the company and ask them to provide this map, which I think is going to be very helpful today. The latest motion is just to include this as part of the record so we can use it to, you know, make decisions and move this case along. So if there is no objection from the commission on that, I've already got a motion drafted up that states that we don't have any issues with including this as part of the record for consideration in the matter.
And then when do we take that up in our next commission meeting, or do we take that up today?
The ALJ actually then, if there's no objection from the parties, just adds it and it becomes part of the record.
I see. Okay. I think the additional information is helpful, and I don't have any objections to it being added to the record. Do either of you?
I had the same opinion. I appreciate you requesting this. I appreciate them providing it, and I think it would be good.
Okay. No objection.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make sure that we get that filed in the record, and then the ALJ can act on it.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
All right. Then if we can jump into the materials. So there's a lot of supplements provided by the company. In my opinion, the most helpful one that kind of summarizes everything well is F19F, exhibit number 19F, which is included in the packet of materials they filed on December 20th. That, in combination with the map, which I think, in my view, the map really takes what's outlined in 19F and puts it on the map so we can kind of understand. And there's really, as I see it, there's these two big issues to deal with. They are the sage grouse and the sharp-tailed grouse issues. They're two separate issues. And so why don't we just talk through them each? And do you want to kind of summarize what the parties have said on the sage grouse issue, Brian, and then how what the company has done, and then how that correlates to what Game and Fish has desired, and then we can talk about that.
Sure. So if you look at the latest map that was provided, it's the 11x17 one. You see the blue outline circle. Towers 73 and 71 are in gray in the bottom left-hand corner. Those were removed after the discussion with Game and Fish and the company. The company stated that they would not build those towers because of the location to LEC B6 However, what was left in that discussion was towers 46, 45, 41, and 48 that are still within the four-mile buffer. My understanding is that Game and Fish sets a buffer around a lek, and there's parts of it as the PCA in that area, too, or in that area. But these towers that are up there, one of the questions I had and that was answered by during communications and discussion afterwards, those are all on cropland, is my understanding. So they're not on those. The ones in green are within the 4 mile buffer. T41 appears to be right on the line or just inside, but they're within there. I think Game and Fish's stance is that they prefer nothing within the boundary. The company has stated, if I'm stating this correctly, that they kind of disagree with that assessment of that those towers are okay, but they did agree to constructing them to avoid any interference during the nesting season for the active lek in that area. So that's kind of where we're at is, Game and Fish would prefer that they're not built there. I think the company does want to build them, and there's a little bit of a disagreement as to whether or not they're really impact. Since they're that far out and in cropland, whether or not that they'd really affect that lek that much. So that's, I think, one of the biggest, bigger issues as well as the other turbines that are broken or sited in unbroken
we'll talk about that
grasslands.
One.
But yeah.
Can I ask a question about that? You said the company agreed not to build during nesting or the season. Is that in writing? Do we have that?
Okay, that's on the next issue. That's not on the sage grouse issue. That's on the sharp-tail grouse, where the construction time frame. So, and they do have that in writing from the meeting minutes. But anyway, we're talking about the sage grouse issues first, if we could. That's these. And Brian said that the construction season issue was to address this, but that's not my understanding. That was related to the towers in the unbroken grassland.
That is correct.
That affecting the sharp-tail grouse. So that's issue number two.
Correct. Yes, sorry about that.
Do you have anything related to the sage grouse?
Are we still talking about the towers 46, 45, 41, 48?
Yes, but that's not the construction thing that you're talking about.
Okay.
That wasn't related to that.
Okay. I do have a question on these, though.
Go ahead.
So when you mentioned, Brian, that but they're not on unbroken grassland, it's cropland. So, I get, I think, both the Game and Fish Department's concerned. So when they're talking about the unbroken grasslands, that's that. And their concern is that we're depleting unbroken grasslands in the state, and they're trying to slow that down. Here, isn't the issue the extra sensitivity of this lek and the fact that their scientists have figured out that this 4 mile buffer is appropriate and that it doesn't really have to do with whether it's grass or cropland over there. It's the fact that it's noise and activity within 4 miles of the lek, regardless of what kind of land is on it, right?
I believe that's correct. I think that is Game and Fish's position. That's any line you draw is going to have some arbitrariness to it, but I think that's what they have figured out is the best way to protect the grouse in that area is to try to keep everything outside of that 4 mile buffer zone.
Thank you.
Game and Fish did have some specific comments about that. Ugh, should have. Brian, you and I read those the other day.
Yeah, I didn't print that one out, and
it's in the filing materials.
That's probably one of the last ones, so that's 19A.
That'd be 19H, I think, is what you might be referring to.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Right. Perfect. If you go to 19H, and this might get to some of your concerns too, Sherry. Mm-hmm. One, do you have this filing?
I don't.
Is it down here? This one?
You're looking at your December 20th?
Yeah, well, that's July. Well, here. I'm happy to share.
I mean, it's become such a paperwork monster.
It has.
I'm just going to share.
Yeah, let's share. So this is the email exchange that was provided. So this is on the unbroken grassland issue.
Right.
Let's see. So we are encouraged and commend you for the removal of turbines 71 and 73 to protect an active sage grouse lek only approximately 2 miles away. And then we also agree that construction activity. So they really don't say anything more about those additional turbines. But and their impact to the sage grouse. That's all they say is this. They don't talk about those turbines. Turbines 45, 46, 41, and 48.
Right.
But they've already removed, based on that email, the company's already agreed to remove them. Those are the two down here.
Yep.
Just those two, but there's these remaining
four
that they haven't removed. And the Game Fish doesn't talk about those.
Right.
So
In this email.
Right.
They
and
do.
And then the rest of that conversation is about the unbroken grasslands for the regular
sharp-tailed grouse. So,
so they haven't really withdrawn their objection to those four, but they've acknowledged and appreciated the withdrawal of the other two.
The other two. That's my understanding, correct.
They say here, and I don't know if we have this in writing anyplace from Game and Fish, but the company says on... In 19G, in their summary of the meeting, the Game and Fish acknowledged the other four turbines were sighted near the 4 mile lek buffer mark and at the edge of the species range.
I mean, it would be hard not to acknowledge that. Anyone can look at the map and see that they're at the edge of it.
Yeah.
One concern I have on that. So they make a conclusion, and yeah, there's some level of arbitrariness to any boundary that you draw, but they somehow conclude that 4 miles is it. And so the company comes, and I don't know what this would be, but let's say it's 3.75. Well, it's almost at the edge. It's not much of an infringement. So, okay, so I guess it's not 4 miles anymore. Now it's 3.75. And so the next one's going to, it's 3.61. You know, so if a line doesn't really mean anything except for you have to incrementally encroach on it, then that's not much of a line anymore.
Do you have a thought on how to resolve that?
Well, I guess I don't have a real strong opinion on it because the Game Fish has not made a very good, has not done a very good job of supporting it.
Right.
But they are the experts that we're to rely on. That's why we, by law, send them notices of these things. And I guess part of me thinks there are a bunch of alternatives. I wouldn't strongly object to not citing those four.
Jerry, how about you?
Or they've identified alternative sites. They can move those turbines.
That's what,
yeah.
That's what I was
thinking. Use an alternative. They have how many sites total, and how many did they say? Like, I remember reading a letter just the other day that said there was like 80 some sites included in the final array, and 70 some would be constructed on.
I think they have a total of 76 out of 82. It was originally 84.
Okay.
Proposed,
mm-hmm.
But then the 84 were reduced down to 82.
So 82 total possible locations,
yes.
With 76
yes.
Ultimately being
yep.
used.
Right.
Yeah. I think way back to August the 21st, there were actually 85 sites. I don't know what happened to one of them, but or I took my notes wrong.
On the map, yeah, on the map they say regarding these four turbines. As acknowledged by North Dakota Game and Fish, these turbines are on tilled cropland at the edge of the species range.
So for clarification, they removed 71 and 73. They have not replaced them anywhere, have they?
Correct.
So, again, then you have...
Well, they're just... Usually
right.
They just have a total number that they're approved, and then they decide at the last...
Four.
At the end, which ones are ultimately going to be. So that they got rid of them, and just now they have fewer total.
Right.
Right.
But typically when we've approved most, if not all, of the wind farm siting certificates, there are some alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't declare that at their discretion as they're out there, if they run into some situation and they're not going to build one that was listed as not an alternative, they can either have one less or they can go build it on one of those alternatives. They don't even need to come back and let us know, I don't think, in most orders.
Right.
We would be
approving an X amount.
Some number of sites,
right.
More than what they intend to build turbines, and they choose which ones they want to use.
Okay, well, I mean, my only hesitation, it seems like, oh, why not just make them use the alternatives? My only hesitation is understanding the whys, because we do also need to remember... You know, like, is this, there's some disagreement back and forth over this LEC to begin with and how active it is, because it was active in 21, it wasn't in 22. The definition of the PCA, which is prime conservation area or
something like that, yep.
You know, it does this or does this not meet that, and those are four turbines that, you know, somebody's losing.
Yeah.
So
and
I just want to know that we have a firm foundation for requiring that.
And I know there was testimony at the hearing, too, that, you know, the wind farm isn't the only thing operating down there. There's oil wells all over the place, although we don't have maps that show where any of those are or anything like that. But, you know, it's... There is other activity going on down there already, so.
I think I might recall a map. I know we've had a million of them, but there might be a wellhead one, but I could just be thinking of something
else. Map specifically of what are
of where the wellheads are, just to show it. And they do reference how many wells per square something or other there are. And also the company did have a witness talk, Chad Labou with West, who basically said that, he testified that the placement of turbines on disturbed land next to suitable habitat would not matter as the turbines are not in suitable habitat. So that was one of the last experts that the company had provided to indicate that.
Yeah. I don't know where the alternates are, but there's a question in my mind. If they are on unbroken grasslands and these are in cropland, is it better to have the alternates than these? I mean, does Game and Fish want the alternates? Have they said that?
Not official. Not that I'm aware of.
Don't they typically list their objections for sites, regardless of whether they're planned sites or alternate sites?
I believe so.
I think they would have, if the alternate sites, if they had objections to one of the number, I think they would have told us
that. We would
know
that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so both of you would prefer to not include those? To ditch those four?
I've changed my mind back and forth a lot of times, to be honest.
No, it's hard.
I mean, it's a tough deal. We're to rely on Game and Fish as the state experts, and frankly, most of the argument that we have heard has been it's okay, it's broken, it's almost at the line, don't worry about it, and Game and Fish has been pretty quiet. However, I don't know that those arguments were compelling, especially the part that it's close to the line. I didn't see any evidence that says, yes, 3.75 miles does make a difference, but here's a study that shows that beyond 3.75 miles, it doesn't matter anymore or anything like that. It's just, we're close, so let it go. So, I haven't been overwhelmingly convinced that Game and Fish is wrong, even though they have not done a very good job of supporting their position.
Any other thoughts, Sherry?
I think that they should be...
Say what?
I think they should be moved.
Or removed.
Yeah, removed.
Okay.
Would you guys like me to find out, like, the location of T-41 that seems to be right on the line, or do you just want to...
Yeah, because, like, it looks like it's equally on the line to T-47, which is black.
That's what I said when I seen this map in a little bigger format, too. But I suppose, you know, when you think of that being 4 miles, I suppose, you know, a turbine the size of them, we can't distinguish that kind of distance. One's just in and one's just out, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, that would be good, Brian. Why don't you do that?
Okay.
And then we'll move on to the next issue, which is the sage grouse, sharp-tailed grouse, not sage grouse, sharp-tailed grouse, and the turbines that they're locating in unbroken grasslands, which are the brown dots on here on the map. And those are the ones where they've said they'll avoid all ground disturbing construction activities at those locations between March 15th and July 15th.
Yeah, that's correct. So there's, I believe, a total of 5 that are in or partially in. I don't know that all of them are completely in. If I remember looking at another map, some of them are partially in unbroken, partially not. But Game and Fish has stated that, you know, loss of habitat for the sage grouse in that area, or is it the sharp tails? I can't remember.
Sharp tails.
You know, that loss of habitat is something that affects the population. I know they did talk about offsetting that with different, by trying to recreate original prairie grasses in an area and habitat for what is lost. So I don't know if, you know, they it didn't seem like they took a real hardline stance that, but it is definitely a concern because it's impacting the habitat and available habitat for the grouse.
Yeah, so I mean, I obviously the companies are working hard to put turbines in cropland, and a lot of them are almost doing that exclusively. Here's five that aren't. The total acreage is pretty small of the impact. And in terms of impacting the sage grouse or grouse, sharp-tailed grouse, seems like the construction limitation is the really the only way they can address that and still construct. So obviously, if we eliminate all of these and the company is well below their design threshold, they'd either have to build it without meeting that or go look for more turbine locations. If we took the four and all these five. So I guess I'm okay with these moving forward. As is with that contingency.
I thought I read Game and Fish would say these five turbines have more of a significant impact than the other four. So I...
Where did you see that?
Isn't that on 19H? Five turbines placed within the unbroken grasslands would significantly impact grasslands associated species of conservation concerns in those areas. Sharply sharp-tailed grouse.
Yeah, but they didn't compare that to these four that I saw anyplace.
So you've been the portfolio holder on this.
Mm-hmm.
What we have done historically has not necessarily been to eliminate all use of unbroken grassland. It has been to minimize it, correct?
Yes.
So now I want to explain how I view this. When I talk about unbroken grassland, I'm not talking about a rocky hilltop in the middle of a field that someone farms around, so it's never been unbroken and it's 15 acres. That's a good spot for a wind turbine, probably.
Right.
I'm talking, and I don't remember the exact acreage. I had a long discussion with game and fish scientists 5-6 years ago, and we broke down some things from my understanding, and I think we were talking about like tracts of 100 acres or more contiguous of unbroken grass. Mm-hmm. Something significant like that. That's what I'm talking about for this comment. So I don't think any should be built in that. We are losing that too quickly. And, even if you build it and if there's your piece and it's 200 acres and you build it, yes, right on the edge, it's only minimally worse than if you build it right outside the edge. But in either event, it's not just that fraction of an acre that the turbine takes and a little bit more that the road takes. Mm-hmm. It's the impact on all of that chunk of land. And so I really think North Dakota should be more cautious about the way we're either losing or ruining the usefulness of these unbroken grasslands. That being said, Game and Fish has we're in the middle of another legislative session. They've not brought legislation or anything to completely forbid it. It seems the policy continues to be to minimize it. And so while I don't think it should be happening, the companies need to know that in advance before they do all this planning. Mm-hmm. And really, I would say, to the extent that you can certainly argue that the North Dakota's goal at this time is to minimize impact, they kind of have.
Yeah. And so some of these are right within, you know, there's that's maybe unbroken, so it's not like the 100 acres of.
And it clearly is not large chunks.
I mean, some of this could be that. Maybe.
What was the total acreage we were looking at, those five we talked about?
0.12 acres for the turbines.
But again, if that's in the middle of a section of unbroken grassland, it's a pretty big deal. But in these cases, they're all right next to other turbines that aren't listed as unbroken, which tells me it's not going to make a huge difference to the environment.
And if I remember correctly, somewhere Game and Fish had kind of commented, like, if these towers are constructed, they would like to see, and I know it's not something that we can enforce, but they talked about trying to recreate native prairie to offset the disturbance in those areas. So I don't know if that speaks to how, you know, big of an issue it was to them or not. But
I think that's an important point, and we can't get into the offset programs in our permitting process. But to the extent that Game and Fish isn't bringing forward legislative proposals to be more restrictive on some of these things, I think it might be related to the fact that there has been some willingness by the companies to work with them on some of these, because they don't have a lot of tools to mitigate this. You know? What do they do? You're changing, you're breaking up areas, and what tool do they have? Either you can't do it, or you got to mitigate it. Those are the two options. There's not a lot of other things that they can do to help protect the species. So I think, you know, to the extent that the companies are listening to Game and Fish and doing their very best to mitigate in the ways that they feel are the most meaningful, they're going to have fewer problems long term with Game and Fish, and you will perhaps be able to forbear the creation of stricter laws protecting some of these species. So, you know, Game and Fish lays out some things. I read it to be that maybe what the company has planned isn't in keeping with what they've suggested or like the most on the mitigation. And so, like I said, we don't get into those agreements, but it's important for the company to work with the Game and Fish on that stuff. Long term, I think, for the long term siting simplification. Sherry, do you have any thoughts on the brown ones? Do you feel that they should be also excluded, or what are your thoughts?
I'm fine with keeping those.
Okay. All right. So Brian and Adam, are there other big issues we need to talk about today?
I don't think so. I think that was it. I mean, it did get simplified with the company removing those two towers. So then it was just down to the four, and then Game and Fish's desire to see less unbroken prairie disturbed. So I think we've addressed what was remaining from those issues.
Do you guys have other things that you want to talk about in relation to this?
I'll hesitate to see if there's something that's directly related. I have something that's nominally related.
Nope, I just had the nine tower turbine step.
So then I will just say this is has some of the same characteristics as what caused me to oppose the last wind farm that was here for us. This is hooking in to a transmission line that just not so many years ago, more than 10, because it wasn't us in the case.
Yeah.
But it's very recent that this commission approved a transmission line and a substation that these people are going to use now because of the need for it. And now we are going to start the process of congesting that line. And maybe the companies don't care. Maybe they like when their stuff gets congested and the RTOs order them to build something new and they make an excellent rate of return on their investment. I don't know why there's not more objection. But I do know who is objecting. And that's 750,000 ratepayers every time we keep raising all these rates. And on the SPP side, on Monday, we've got a big vote coming up on a great big transmission project to solve multiple congestion problems, most of which, just looking at the maps, are the result of building a bunch of additional generation in that, yes, they make their argument that led me to believe for years, oh, we're paying the costs of these upgrades, until last year we had it clarified by one of the RTOs that they pay for the upgrades for the interconnection, not for the costs of the congestion that the interconnection ultimately causes. And so I have some of those same concerns about this. However, I'm also mindful of the fact that we had this hearing a year and a half ago, and then the case was held open because of completely unrelated things. And I'm really questioning the appropriateness of either denying this because of the congestion-related problems that it is going to start to cause. I'm not saying that this one project is going to completely damage that transmission area down there, but it's the start of it. And to reopen the case again for on that, like I say, after this long delay for other reasons, it kind of doesn't seem like proper regulatory role either. So perhaps I need to I'm debating that again, but I do recognize that there's no evidence on the record on that. It's just what's in plain sight. And so I just want to point that out if I'm still torn on that.
Thanks, Randy. My concerns on the whole congestion issue are a couple. First of all, I mean, we build infrastructure and the goal is to use it to its maximum. So, you know, to the extent that there's capacity on the system and the substations, and like, it's a good thing to have more use of it. So that, you know, how do we decide what's enough and what isn't, and where we cross that border in a siting case? Like, how do we do that? We just don't have the technical expertise and to know where we've crossed a line between now this is too much use of this system, and it also depends on the weather, and it depends on the demand, and it depends on, you know, which facilities are on and off, or outages, and all kinds of things come to play with it. So, I mean, I just feel like that is a big, muddy mess to introduce to the siting process, and I have grave concerns about that. So I appreciate that you aren't, it doesn't sound like you're going down that path on this case, because we haven't talked about it, it isn't in the record. But even just, you know, looking forward to future cases, we're going to have to a whole different approach if we're going to entertain some of that, some of those issues.
I will say, though, one of the things that certainly can give a person, I think, fairly good guidance on, you talked about, like, okay, at what point is something going to be damaging? We don't know that. Well, I think one good guide is if they're working with the utilities who are involved, and if anybody is clamoring for this, these merchant generators that just find a substation somewhere and pop in, and mm-hmm. not one utility shows up and testifies that this is a good thing or going to be helpful, I think that's a pretty good hint.
Well, maybe if we're going to expect the utilities, then they should be stepping forward saying it's hurtful. And nobody did that either.
And that's why I say, I think you begin to wonder whether they sometimes like their stuff to become congested to the point that they're ordered to build something new. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's something that I think needs to be explored better in a hearing, and for the whole roundabout reasons not associated with what we're talking about mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. This hearing's a year and a half old already.
Yeah. Okay, Sherry, any additional thoughts from you?
Nope.
All right, so I think what I would like to do is I want to look at some of the order that's proposed and work with staff on a draft order and get it to you guys in advance. I'm not going to say right now whether I think the one that I bring forward will include or take out the four in green. Because I want to look at additional comments from Game and Fish from the earlier testimony. But, you know, you guys can obviously bring forward your own ideas, a competing order, or vote accordingly based on what it says. So we'll just get one circulated as a step one.
Okay, that sounds good.
Does that work, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's it for me.
Okay. Anything else that anyone needs to add in before we close?
I don't have anything at this time, no.
Okay, this work session is closed. Thank you, everyone.